Tonight, a historic flood disaster, hundreds of dramatic rescues, and a frantic search for a missing veteran swept away while trying to help others.
If I was in this situation, he'd be the first one out there looking for me.
A 1-in-1,000-year flood slams the same American city for the second time in just 2 years. The middle school teacher shot 3 times while risking his own life to save his students, speaking for the first time about those harrowing moments in the classroom.
I deeply care for my students and their well-being, so that is why I did what I did that day.
A violent takedown at the beach, an officer seen repeatedly punching a woman in the head. Tonight, police investigating, including what they say you don't see on this video. They're calling him Spider-Man, scaling balconies to reach a 4-year-old boy hanging on for his life. Tonight, he's being hailed as a hero. And a solemn salute, 4 hours long, a Marine Corps veteran's inspiring annual tradition. This Memorial Day, we salute him.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening, I'm Peter Alexander in tonight for Lester. We are just getting our first look at the full scope of a stunning disaster that tore through the streets of a historic Maryland city. A 1-in-1,000-year storm hitting for the second time in just 2 years. Tonight, a frantic search is on for an Army National Guardsman swept away while trying to help with hundreds of dramatic rescues there. This is not the only severe weather we're watching tonight, as Alberto makes landfall in the Gulf Coast, putting tens of millions under flood watches. We are covering it all for you, and we begin with NBC's Kristen Dahlgren in Ellicott City, Maryland.
Tonight in Ellicott City, Maryland, a desperate search.
I'm out here looking for him, or trying to look for him, because I know he would do the same for me.
Addison Herman, a 39-year-old Air Force veteran and National Guardsman, was enjoying lunch in the historic downtown when a flash flood turned Main Street into a torrent. He waded in to help.
A lady approached and indicated she was trying to find her cat. He, along with some other folks, went back to assist her. And unfortunately, during that effort, they saw him go under the water and not surface.
The water moved with such force, this old stone courthouse, here for nearly 2 centuries, was no match. Watch as this man barely escapes. Cars tossed like toys. First floor businesses flooded. Many trapped.
There's nothing you can do until somebody comes and gets us.
This road completely washed away. Today, Callie Harris broke down, seeing the devastation left behind. She was in her third floor apartment and captured these videos as the water threatened.
Everything started collapsing and cars started coming down, inventory started coming out, windows started breaking.
The downtown devastated. For some, there is very little to come home to.
So many businesses, so many residents, just everything's just taken away from them. Their livelihoods are just gone.
Many had just reopened after another catastrophic flood in 2016. At the time, it was called a 1,000-year flood. But 2 years later, officials say this one is worse.
Can't just be really bad luck.
How often do you get, 7 or 8, 9 inches of rain in a 4-hour, 5-hour period?
For many storm-weary residents now left to pick up the pieces, it's too much to bear.
You don't know if you'll stay.
I don't know. I don't know how I could after this. This was terrifying.
And tonight we're learning more about just how many people were affected. 911 received about 1,100 calls in a 3-hour period. Rescuers saved some 300 people. And Peter, tonight as they are beginning this damage assessment here, the cost expected to go well into the millions.
Yeah, you see some of it there behind you in Ellicott City. Kristen Dahlgren, thank you very much. We're also keeping a close eye on tropical, subtropical storm Alberto, that first named storm of the season, making landfall in Florida this evening. States of emergency across the South, and NBC's Kerry Sanders is in the storm zone for us tonight.
Alberto hitting the Florida panhandle with wind gusts of up to 59 miles per hour. Dangerous rip currents causing life-threatening surf conditions. And up to 4 inches of rain, the slow-moving storm hitting 5 days before the official start of the hurricane season.
It's not a good sign that we're getting named storms before the hurricane season officially starts.
Unsettling.
Very much so.
Governors in Florida, Alabama, and Mississippi declaring states of emergency. 34 million under flood or flash flood watches. Tornadoes a possibility. Residents in low-lying areas ordered to evacuate before bridges closed due to high winds.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't think I'm going to have to. Whoa! Oh,
It's really gotten rough. The waves are just running over the streets.
Tonight, the impact is far from over. The new concern, inland flooding along already rising rivers as the very wet subtropical storm continues to move north.
The first two deaths associated with this storm, and sadly, it is hitting close to home. Mike McCormick and Aaron Smeltzer, both from our NBC station at WYFF in Greenville, South Carolina, were out covering the impacts of Alberto when a tree collapsed on their vehicle, killing them both. Peter?
All right, Carrie, thank you. We're thinking of their families tonight. Let's turn to NBC meteorologist Dylan Dreyer, tracking every moment of this holiday storm. Dylan, where's it heading now?
Well, it's heading north, and it's going to actually bring some of the rain as far north as the Great Lakes. But for right now, you can see, as it is just to the northwest of Panama City, we have bands of either torrential downpours or almost clear skies. So when you get stuck within the heavier rain, that's when we have that flooding potential. It's moving north at 9 miles per hour. Winds are currently at 45 miles per hour. As we go into tomorrow, it continues to track all the way across Alabama, then up into the Tennessee River Valley. And there we go. By Thursday, it's all the way up into Michigan. So along that track, it's going to produce heavy downpours and lots of rain. So through the night tonight, slowly the rain moves across Georgia, across Alabama, and then eventually those downpours continue up into Tennessee. We could see an additional 3 to 5 inches of rain, and that threat for flooding continues. Yeah. Peter.
The Southeast about to get socked. Dylan, thank Absolutely. You very much. Tonight, we are hearing for the first time from an Indiana middle school teacher who risked his own life to save his students. He was shot 3 times when he charged and tackled a gunman who opened fire in his classroom. And as NBC's Ron Mott tells us tonight, that teacher says he saw no other option.
Jason Seaman!
Not one to seek the spotlight today, science teacher Jason Seaman couldn't avoid being the center of attention in Noblesville.
Special tribute to science teacher Jason Seaman.
A grateful community turning out to say thanks to him and all teachers at West Middle School. Even here, he stood off to the side.
I want to make it clear that my actions on that day, in my mind, were the only acceptable actions I could have done given the circumstances.
Seaman's seventh grade students were taking a test when police say one of them asked to be excused, then returned with 2 guns and opened fire. 13-year-old Ella Whistler recovering tonight, hit multiple times, as was Seaman when he rushed the shooter.
An unbelievably brave colleague entered my room. It was absolutely crucial in keeping Ella alert and calm as we waited for help to arrive. I can't say enough how proud of Ella I am and how we all should be.
An unidentified male student is in custody. 3 days later, parents still shaken by how bad it could have been without Jason Seaman's courage.
He's an absolute hero. I can't believe what he did. I can't wait to get the opportunity to shake his hand.
We're just forever grateful because other lives could have been impacted terribly if he wouldn't have stepped in and did what he did.
I deeply care for my students and their well-being, so that is why I did what I did that day.
A reluctant hero who didn't think twice about putting his life on the line. Ron Mott, NBC News, Noblesville, Indiana.
Now to Hawaii, where a series of new violent volcanic eruptions are rocking the Big Island. Authorities have now dramatically increased the number of structures destroyed, and today another plume of ash is spewing thousands of feet into the air as lava flows into a power plant. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has the latest.
More destructive than ever, waves of lava now smothering at least 82 structures. As the desperate watch the unstoppable.
It is tragic, and in another way, it's really beautiful because it's absolute destruction and creation at the same time.
Today, new eruptions at Kilauea's crater, shooting plumes of ash 15,000 feet, with new fissures exploding seemingly every day.
This is just one of the latest massive fissures to open up, and geologists say for now, it shows no sign of slowing down.
With lava now seeping over a geothermal power plant, for now, authorities say they've averted disaster, no explosions. But tonight, the Marines are ready for mass evacuations, a disaster getting more dire each day. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Pahoa, Hawaii.
On this Memorial Day, President Trump laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington and paid his respects to those who gave their lives for the country.
They inspired their communities, uplifted their country, and provided the best example of courage, virtue, and valor the world will ever know.
Earlier, the president raised some eyebrows with his Memorial Day message on Twitter. "Happy Memorial Day," he wrote. "Those who died for our great country would be very happy and proud at how well our country is doing today. Best economy in decades, lowest unemployment numbers for blacks and Hispanics ever, and women in 18 years. Rebuilding our military, and so much more. Nice." Now to a terrifying scene that played out on a Florida highway. A driver unaware that her car was on fire as another motorist tried desperately to get her attention. It turns out the car was under recall, but the owner claims she never received a recall notice. NBC's Tom Costello has the tape and the warning for all drivers.
It happened on I-4 in Orlando, a driver desperately trying to get a fellow driver's attention.
Get over! Get over!
Seconds later...
Get away! Get away from it!
The SUV is engulfed in flames.
This is crazy, you guys.
The 2012 Kia Sorento was owned by Tyla Kennedy. Kia had issued a safety recall on 2012 through 14 Sorentos because of an engine defect.
I never received a recall notice. I didn't know my car was in for a recall until I called them after the accident happened.
But Tyla didn't buy her car from Kia. She bought it secondhand from another dealer, a common complication when automakers need to notify car owners of important safety recalls.
This is a problem across all manufacturers. They tend to just do the letter of the law, which is send a single letter through the U.S. mail to the original owner.
It's not clear what caused the fire, but in a statement, Kia tells NBC News, based on DMV records received, it sent the recall notice to the customer's last known address and promptly updated its records upon notification by the customer of the incorrect mailing address. Some 60 million vehicles now on the road have recalls that have gone unrepaired. Some owners choose not to take action, not knowing that the recall repairs are free. Some owners fail to notify automakers they've moved or sold the car. Consumer advocates say automakers should try harder to find the current owner. To find out if your car is under recall, write down the VIN. It's right here and also right here. Then go to safercar.gov, safercar.gov, and the recalls should pop up. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Now to our series, One Nation Overdosed. A lot of college campuses are known for hard partying along with studying. That can be a tough challenge for students in recovery from drugs and alcohol. But that's starting to change as more students offer programs that support students fighting addiction. NBC's Katie Beck traveled to Minnesota and introduces us to the nation's largest program of its kind.
Neil Alexander King.
He did it. Neil King is now a college graduate, a hard-earned degree that just a few years ago seemed impossible.
Did you think this was something you could accomplish?
Definitely not. You know, really, just kind of making it to the next day was something that, you know, felt like an accomplishment.
Using drugs since age 14, King was addicted to heroin.
I lived to use and used to live.
He hit bottom after high school and 4 months into recovery discovered a way to go to college and stay sober.
We always say that no one should have to choose between recovery and a college education.
He found Step Up at Augsburg University in Minneapolis, a residential recovery program for students with addiction.
What type of changes do you see in these students from when they walk in the door to when they walk out?
Confidence, self-esteem, wellness.
Engaging in collegiate life substance-free, sober dorms with access to counselors, and peers fighting the same battle.
I try to think of us as a family here because I need that help from everybody.
Last year, 5.3 million young adults needed treatment for substance abuse, about one in six people between 18 and 25 years old. More universities seeing that need, now starting recovery programs. As for King, he's heading to graduate school.
I've really learned to believe in myself and my skills and my capabilities.
A second chance at success with a diploma in hand.
Family love.
Katie Beck, NBC News, Minneapolis.
And still ahead here tonight, a violent takedown on the beach. A woman arrested, an officer seen punching her in the head. We have the tape and what police say you don't see caught on camera. Also, a heart-stopping rescue. Look at this. The guy they're calling Spider-Man scaling a building to save a little boy hanging on for his life. Back now with that violent beach confrontation caught on tape. A police officer arresting a woman seen punching her repeatedly in the head. But authorities say there's more that you do not see on this video. Here's NBC's Ann Thompson.
A disturbing confrontation caught on camera. An officer repeatedly punches 20-year-old Emily Wyman in the head, then throws her to the ground.
Stop resisting!
Tonight, Wildwood, New Jersey police investigating the incident, including what they say the camera didn't capture. Wildwood's public safety commissioner says Wyman hit an officer first, kicking him in the groin, then attempting to run away before a neighboring beachgoer started filming.
Look, if we did something wrong, we don't bury it. But if we were right, which in this case I do believe we were, the facts will come out.
Wyman told her story in a Facebook post that's since been taken down. The underage Philadelphia woman saying police questioned her because she had alcohol, and she says she passed a breathalyzer test. But when officers asked her for her name, Wyman refused, and this happened. The officers involved are on administrative duty. Wyman faces a variety of offenses, including two counts of aggravated assault on a police officer, aggravated assault by spitting at or on an officer, resisting arrest, and a minor in possession of alcohol. All for a day at the beach gone out of control. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
And up next, an urgent new warning from the FBI, why the feds want you to reset your home internet router. An urgent warning tonight from the FBI. If you have an internet router in your home or small business, reset it. Turn it off, flip the switch, pull the plug, whatever you need to do. Give it a moment, then turn it back on. The feds say the concern here is a malware system linked to Russia that's already infected hundreds of thousands of routers worldwide. And they say the easiest way to combat it is simply to reboot your router. An amazing rescue caught on camera. This is in France. A 4-year-old boy dangling for dear life from a 5th-floor balcony. Look at this. A man they're now calling Spider-Man bounds up the building by hand, saving the child, him lifting him to safety. It turns out the man is a migrant from Mali in northwest Africa who made the dangerous journey across the Mediterranean to Italy, then France. For his heroism, he was honored today by French President Emmanuel Macron, offered French citizenship, and even a job with the Paris Fire Department. And there is late word tonight from former President George H.W. Bush, hospitalized near his summer home in Maine with low blood pressure and fatigue. He tweeted, "Very much regret missing the Memorial Day parade today in Kennebunkport and am forever grateful not only to those patriots who made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation, but also the Gold Star families whose heritage is imbued with their honor and heroism. And we are sending our best to him for a very speedy recovery." When we come back here on Nightly News, 4 hours long as nearly a million people pass by, a veteran's powerful salute this Memorial Day as we salute him. Finally, tonight on this Memorial Day, as Americans honor those who've served and sacrificed, many converging on the nation's capital as part of the annual Rolling Thunder Ride, we introduce you to one veteran whose solemn salute inspires everyone who passes by. As nearly a million motorcyclists roll into our nation's capital, the roar of freedom is deafening. But the most powerful tribute here is silent. For more than 4 hours every year, Marine Corps veteran Tim Chambers holds a single salute.
Thank you, brother.
Only pausing to offer a hug.
Gold Star family member right here.
I didn't know this was going to happen. I just went out to thank them for their service.
It started when at 25, Staff Sergeant Chambers was working a desk job at the Pentagon. On 9/11, the plane passed by his window. Chambers was already planning to volunteer at the next Memorial Day parade. But at that moment, an impulse.
I thought, all these vets are zooming by on their motorcycles. How can I thank them? They may not be here next year. So I jumped out in the street, popped up a salute, and they kept coming.
17 years later, he's still making the journey.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Back home in San Diego, Chambers drives for Uber and Lyft. He's also a full-time MBA student, taking out a loan to cover the cost of this year's trip.
6, 7, 8.
And to hold that stance for hours, Chambers takes bar class to build muscle.
I get cramps everywhere up and down my body as I'm holding that salute, but I just keep thinking about what it means to people.
Despite a broken wrist and a staph infection, he's never missed the parade. Chambers even celebrated his wedding as the procession passed.
I finally realized
why he stands out there.
I love you.
It's just very healing. And if he can give healing to just one person, that's a lot.
On a holiday filled with formal tributes, this one is personal. A salute that says,
carry on!
We won't forget those who've served. Tonight, Staff Sergeant Chambers, we salute you, all those who have served and sacrificed, and of course their families. That is Nightly News for this Monday night. I'm Peter Alexander. We leave you with images from Arlington National Cemetery. For all of us at NBC News, we thank you for watching and have a good night.